Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Several years back, when I was employed by a school district, I was asked to connect with some of the parents who had concerns regarding their child's education, knowing other district staff were unable to resolve their concerns. It is a completely different experience when visiting with a parent, and there are huge differences between the school district and parent on what is best for the child. When I was sent out, it was with the desired result of finding a resolution to the concerns and finding a path forward. To accommodate the parent, I would offer to meet with them at a date and time and location that would work for both of us, with the idea known only to me that I would arrange my schedule as much as possible to meet with them at their desired date, time, and location. I found that when visiting with the parents, it was beneficial to initially focus on their child and not initially on the concerns the parent had with the school district. I would converse with the parents, leading the conversation to what they would like to see for their child after graduation. Focusing initially on that future desired destination made it easier for me to understand possible resolutions to their concerns. And once I understood what was possible, I would begin discussing with the parent what was preferred by them. I found the parents to be very receptive to this approach, but my discussions with them were not entirely free of criticisms of the district or even of me because I worked for the district. Because I knew trying to defend these criticisms would not alleviate their concerns, and while I would acknowledge their concerns, we would be talking about their child's future, not their criticisms of the district or of me. Our faith similarly needs to be focused on the incredible future we have and not solely focused on criticisms of our faith. For instance, as Christians who observe the Sabbath and holy days, we can receive criticism for that. We can choose to respond to criticisms, what we experience here and now, or we can choose to stay focused on the kingdom of God. Paul encouraged the Colossians to not let others judge them. Make no mistake, when people criticize us, they judge us. Colossians 2, verse 16. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Sometimes we may get so focused on the Sabbath and holy days that we forget these are only a shadow of things to come and not the thing that is to come itself. We all hope for eternal life in the kingdom of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we are criticized, we need to focus on this result, not the criticism. Each criticism we receive from non-believers is an opportunity to further share the gospel of the kingdom of God, and when we are defending criticisms, we can't effectively share the gospel. Paul frequently found himself preaching to crowds other than church members, and some of those crowds were not always friendly. When Paul was at Antioch, most of the city seemed to come to hear what Paul had to say, which didn't set well with the Jews who sought to contradict him. Instead of directly answering the criticism, Paul used their criticism to show that although the word of God was first given to the Jews, because the Jews had proven themselves to be unworthy of everlasting life, the promise of everlasting life was now being extended to the Gentiles. The message of the gospel of the kingdom of God was expanded and not confined to the criticism that was given. Even when Paul and Barnabas were thrown out of the city, that simply allowed them to travel to Iconium to visit with the brethren there. Acts 13, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their posts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. When Paul traveled to Ephesus, he spoke with the elders of the church, reminding them of how he publicly taught both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith towards Jesus Christ. Even though it was Paul the man doing the teaching, he knew it was the Holy Spirit that witnessed in every city, even when Paul was imprisoned or in trouble. Paul preached of the kingdom of God to those in and out of the church and did not hold back. He reminded the elders they had the responsibility to feed the flock, lest their lack of effort result in wolves devouring the congregation by speaking perverse things. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the line and weight of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying, The bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, It is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul remained focused on the kingdom of God and did not allow non-believers to distract him, even when he was imprisoned or in trouble. Today, our focus must be on the kingdom of God. And while there is much we see in the world around us that might even be labeled as sin in the pages of the Bible, when we remain focused on those things and not the kingdom of God, we are that much less effective in sharing the hope we have of eternal life in the kingdom of God. When Jesus gave the remaining 11 disciples their great commission, it was because all power had been given to him. Jesus told the disciples to teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and to observe those things commanded by Jesus. As we live our lives today, we must share this same message. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark records this event and adds the disciples were to preach the gospel to all people, and the gospel in the New Testament is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus added that those who believe would be able to speak in new languages, be spared by that which is deadly, and heal the sick. Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. As we share the gospel of the kingdom of God with others, we can be comforted by the promises of Jesus, but need not act to prove his words. For instance, we know in Acts, when the Holy Spirit was first given, that the people spoke in new tongues. Throughout history, whenever a person of the faith has encountered deadly things, as it is God's will, these people have been protected by God. But we do not need to tempt God by purposely encountering deadly things. Satan tried to get Jesus to tempt God by casting himself down from the temple because of God's promise of protection, and Jesus rejected that, telling Satan, "We are told not to tempt God." When Jesus traveled, he preached the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and also healed those who were sick. Jesus reminded the disciples that while the harvest is huge, the workers are few, and that we should pray for more workers for the harvest. Matthew 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Today, we should continue to pray for more people to share the gospel of the kingdom of God. As we are sharing that gospel, to whom should we be sharing it? It is common for us to share our faith with others who are also of the faith. And Jesus gave an example to reach out to people beyond our faith by going to the extreme, by socializing with people looked down upon as sinners by the religious elite. Jesus reminded them that a righteous person has no need for repentance, but that sinners do. We should never not share the faith we have with a person just because we perceive that person to be a sinner. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. There are times to share the faith we have with non-believers and times not to share the faith we have. Many workplaces have rules prohibiting employees from proselytizing employees and customers. It's a lot easier to be hit with a proselytizing violation when you mention your faith out of the blue with no prior context. But if the other person notices a difference in you and wants to know why, that would be a great time to share the hope you have of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Sometimes we encounter random people in our daily activities, and some of those people might be the type of person who seeks harm of other people. We each have to use our own best judgment when interacting with other people, and there is nothing wrong with trusting your gut or instincts. But when we share this hope we have with others, it needs to be in the context of love, the love that we of the faith have for each other. This love for each other is assigned to non-believers. If we of the faith are suspicious of each other, act with disdain with each other, see others of the faith with some type of contempt, we should have no expectation that others would consider that the gospel of the kingdom of God has been entrusted to us. And we should expect these other people to consider us nothing more than some type of hypocritical religious group. John 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. What we do on earth should transcend good, reaching towards that tree of life, and never be centered on evil. When others see us as being different than everyone else, that should be a good thing, not a bad thing. What the Holy Spirit is working in each of us is not something that can be hid. And if we work really hard to hide what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through us, it's like hiding the hope we have of eternal life in the kingdom of God. Instead, we are to let our light shine before others so that our good works may be seen, not for our own glory, but to bring glory to God. Matthew 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we think of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, and if we should do that, we can look to Isaiah the prophet, who heard God ask who he could send to share the words of prophecy. Isaiah volunteered to be that person, even though God had already chosen him to be the prophet. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And said I, here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without men, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Just like God first chose Isaiah to be a prophet, and then Isaiah volunteered to do what God needed to have done, today we are chosen by God. If we are wondering why the message about the kingdom of God seems to be a bit more sporadic, maybe each of us can, like Isaiah, volunteer to be the person whom God sends. Whatever our circumstances are will impact how we are able to share the message about the kingdom of God. But when we do share that message, we cannot be ashamed of it and must continue to live lives of faith. Romans 1, verse 15. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is through Jesus Christ we are not ashamed. While the law of Moses can easily convict us of sin, it is righteousness that comes through faith, knowing that Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected, that brings us hope of eternal life and our place in the kingdom of God. Romans 10, verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. The man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall ascend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. As part of the Church of God, we easily see the lack of knowledge by those not of the faith regarding God, Jesus Christ, and the Bible. Paul shows it is unrealistic to expect a person to have faith if they haven't first heard. It's unrealistic of us to expect non-believers to know of the kingdom of God unless they have first heard that message from other people. We will never know how God can use us to share the gospel of the kingdom of God unless we are like Isaiah, who volunteered. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul shared the gospel, the content of his message did not change, but how he shared his message did vary. When he was speaking with a Jew, he preached from the perspective of the Jew. When he was with a Gentile, he preached from the perspective of the Gentile. To both groups, he shared the most pertinent information, and when he spoke to spiritually weak, he spoke from a perspective of spiritual weakness, all in an effort to bring them to salvation. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul adjusted his approach based on the person receiving his message. With Timothy, he reminded him that the mystery of godliness is without controversy. Even though we may adjust our approach or sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God based on the people hearing the message, it is shared without controversy. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. It might be hard for us to think we have a role in proclaiming the message of the kingdom of God, and yet Paul shows, beginning in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Ambassadors represent their country in a foreign nation and share the messaging of their country. We are to share the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 12. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, who hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For it made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Psalms, we are told to sing to God, sing psalms to him, and to talk of God's wonderful works among the people. As we do this, we are also sharing the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. Proverbs tells us that if we win souls, we are wise. We have to exercise wisdom in sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God, knowing that what we do as the righteous is like a tree of life, not only benefiting ourselves and others of the faith, but also including those who do not know God. Proverbs 11, verse 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be a servant to the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth, much more the wicked and the sinner. As we share the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God, we do so as ambassadors for Christ, and as disciples, it is expected for us to bear much fruit. Our ability to share the gospel of the kingdom of God is limited by the spiritual fruit we bear. If we bear little spiritual fruit, it will be hard for us to share the message. If we bear much fruit, it will be easier for us to share that same message. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. The Ephesians were reminded that through Jesus Christ, we are created for good works, that we should walk in them. Today, we are also expected to have good works. It would be hypocritical to have evil or bad works while also sharing the message of the kingdom of God. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Sometimes our opportunity to share the message of the kingdom of God arises when we are asked questions or presented with philosophical viewpoints. We are expected to use well-thought-out words, not just cut-and-dry explanations. We do this starting with prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. As we share the message of the kingdom of God, we are not to do so with a condescending attitude, but one of pity and courtesy, focusing on how we can be a blessing for those seeking the truth. We have to keep God close to our heart as sacred and holy, so that we can give an answer for the hope that we have of eternal life in the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 3, verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life, and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they should speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. But who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. When we share the message of the kingdom of God, it should be to establish sound doctrine and not to aggrandize itself. We should be able to transcend generations in what we say to benefit those who are older as well as the younger. And we should never use the faith we have as a means to exploit others. But through the faith, we should be faithful to all. Titus 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, nor forlorning, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Peter tells us we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. He also tells us that we should be showing what is praiseworthy about God, knowing we were called from darkness to light. We have to live as people of the light, knowing that we will interact with people of the darkness. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, and ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Sharing the gospel of the kingdom of God with a non-believer could include sharing how through God our lives have been made better. We may not have wealth, but I suspect we have peace of mind and reduced worries about life, knowing that with God all things are possible. In all that we share, we must clearly share that who we are is based in love and faith towards Jesus Christ and others who are called. We may not be rich, but in the peace that comes through faith and love, we are very rich. Philemon, verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. As Christians, we cannot separate ourselves from the gospel of the kingdom of God, and we also have the responsibility for the gospel. What we say, how we say it, and how we have love for each other are all critical as we proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God through the words we say, the deeds we do, and how we live our lives. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.